Oh boy. Welcome in to episode 327 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. It is solo Kluver in the house. Beep. That was everybody tuning out. That was the hang up tone on the phone from when you had a landline or something like that. Because everybody doesn't come, nobody comes to the podcast for me. And that's okay. Does that hurt my feelings a little bit? Yes, it does. Do I feel confident podcasting alone? Yes, I do. Because to a very small group of people, I actually do another podcast on my own on a weekly basis that's based on fitness and health and my fitness, health, nutrition, sometimes business, stuff like that, CrossFit. And there's like 120 people that somehow have found that podcast that I don't ever advertise. Shout out to those. The walk-on army is the few, the proud. The people who found my secondary solo podcast about CrossFit, that's really the exclusive group right there. So shout out to them. I'm alone. And we already mentioned CrossFit like 2 minutes into the podcast. I don't know. It's episode 327. Here's the deal. Drake said on Tuesday, which was yesterday, when we did DHT, that he was not going to be able to make it tonight unless we did it early, right? Because I have been embezzling money from the Wash Up Walk-Ons LLC and using all of it to go on vacations. That's a joke for those that aren't a part of the Walk-On Army. My work week was condensed, contrary to popular belief that Drake and Kevin will peddle the narrative that I don't have a job and I don't have stuff to do. I actually do. So my work week was condensed to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week, which means that I was not able to record early with Drake. Drake bounced on the podcast, bounced on this episode because he's a cool kid and he's got rich, famous friends, mainly George Kittle and all of that gang, which happens to be a entire squadron army of tight ends this weekend. As you all know, fans of Iowa, fans of George Kittle, the highest paid tight end in the league right now. By the way, I did the math on that one. George makes something like $17,000 a day, something like $26 a minute or something like that. I'm going to redo the math just because it's absolutely absurd. $15 million a year divided by 365 comes out to $41,000 a day. $1,700. That's the figure I was looking for. $1,700 an hour, $28.50 a minute. So I'll just take a second to realize that that is ridiculous. Absurd. I mean, I can't say he doesn't deserve it, but god damn, pro sport, football, MLB, NBA money is absolutely insane. And granted, he is one of the top paid guys in the league. He's the top paid tight end. As I mentioned, the NFL or maybe Pro Football Focus or somebody dropped the highest paid guy at each position in the league right now as of last week. Two Hawkeyes on that list. Brandon Scherff, I believe, was on there as the highest paid guard. I think they only did guard tackle. I don't believe there was right tackle, left tackle, right guard, left guard. I think Brandon Scherff is the highest paid guard in the league right now because he just signed a new contract last year. Kittle signed his contract last season or whenever that happened for $15 million a year. And that's pretty cool. Hawks making bucks. Okay. What are we going to do on this podcast? Well, let's get to the other portion of this show. The other guy who's supposed to be here with me and save me from the solidarity that is a solo podcast. Kevin left me. Don't know what he's doing. Wednesdays are often days where he doesn't show up because he's on a business dinner. I'm jealous. So Kevin's eating steak with doctors. Drake is at the opening night/dinner/party of TEU, So it's this is what we get. It's going to be a shitty episode. Welcome to the podcast. It's going to be a shitty episode. Drake left me for the professional tight ends. I don't know why he was invited to tight end you. I mean, I get it. He's friends with George, but he ain't a tight end. Friends of George just get invited to this now? Good for him. Kevin's out with doctors, and I am left to record a podcast by myself. We actually might have David Eichholt joining the show for a few minutes to come and save me. Before David Eichholt, the man who has all of the news and is up to date on Iowa football, steps in and helps me save this episode from being an absolute catastrophe, we need to thank the people who save the entire show, really the entire brand, from being a total catastrophe and a complete failure. And that's DRF Sports. DRF, the place you need to go to bet. Get the DRF Sports app or go to ia.drf.com. And let's make the boys at DRF feel welcomed and kind of let's just make DRF the Iowa brand, right? Like, yeah, that's kind of what they're telling me to say, but also, why not? Why not us? Let's grow a brand that's doing it right, that's helping the boys, that wants to help people get into sports betting, help educate them on the right bets, on how to bet, different kinds. Basketball and hockey season is ending, but baseball season is in full swing, and baseball betting can be some of the most profitable betting out there. I would know, my brothers are both into that, and you can make some decent green on that. So DRF.com, shout out to the boys, download the app, start making money. Now, let's talk to David.
My bad. What's up, dude?
Bro, how we doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Well, you know, usually we got our shit under control around here, but I guess the guy with a real job decided to work late tonight and the other guy decided to hang out with George Kittle. So I am alone for the first time.
Tyler, I would hang out with you over George.
No,
I'll be honest. I think that's a, I think it's kind of a shit move.
I think that's a shit opinion for you to have. For if you had the opportunity to hang out with me or George, I would hang out with George before I hung out with myself.
All right, I'll stop downloading. I mean, obviously, yeah, for sure.
He's at the.
But thanks for me to hop in.
No, of course. How you been, man?
Things have been good, man. You know, it's summertime, traveling a lot, doing some cool stuff, seeing a lot of concerts and enjoying the weather and all of that fun stuff before, you know, the season gets rolling around. So it's all good.
Yeah. So for you right now, it's just like purely, obviously there's no like real football to talk about. I mean, you can come up with plenty of stories that are storylines for the upcoming season, but for you, it's probably a lot of recruiting. Yeah.
Yeah, especially this weekend. I mean, obviously with Caden Proctor coming in, number one offensive tackle, out of Southeast Polk, number one offensive tackle in the country, 6'7", 335. I mean, you talk about a guy that I think you could plug in and play right away. You know, I think George Barnett's done a great job. I think there's a lot of really, really good offensive line guys coming in. I think there's a lot of, you know, guys that Iowa can land this weekend. I mean, you know, covering recruiting for the last 5 years or so for Iowa, this is the weekend where, you know, a lot of the bulk of the class comes in. I mean, you think of guys like Dane Belton committed after his summer visit on this sort of weekend a few years back, and now he's in the NFL. So it's a lot of that, but it's also just a lot of excitement, I think, for next year, especially when you look at the team they got. I mean, they're turned 16 starters. I think the defense could be even better than last year, which is kind of wild to think about. But you look at the guys they got, replacing a lot of guys in the secondary, but guys who have, you know, been in Phil Parker's system for the last few years, you know, while the interception numbers might not be up there as opposed to the last few years, I think the defensive line is going to be as strong as it's been in quite some time as a pure unit. We need to see someone obviously rise to that level of a Zach Van Valkenburgh or Davion Nixon or an AJ Epinesa. And I think it's unrealistic to kind of throw those expectations on those guys. But man, you talk about a unit that I think could do a really, really good job. I think this is the group. They obviously, I know they got sacks last year, but I mean, Tyler, you know more football than I do. I think they're incredibly gap sound. And I think that's what made them so dangerous, where they just frustrated the quarterback into making poor decisions. obviously secondary took advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah, it's one of those positions where you don't, you know, sacks are great and you see like, you know, the Watt brothers and they rack up the numbers. It doesn't always tell the whole story though, because sometimes the coverage sacks, right? Or just the fact that you get the quarterback to throw the ball away, or you get him to run out of the pocket and do something different, or you blow up a run play. There's some hidden stats there that the D-line really has a strong grip over when it comes to how much they can make a difference. Interesting to see if YA Black becomes a guy this year. I think Wagner is really, really solid. I think Joe Evans is really, really solid. Yep. I think they're an effort group, which is what you want out of a D line, right? So I'm excited to see. Do you see anybody else really making a push to maybe have a breakout season?
I mean, it's not a breakout, but I mean, you look at Lucas Van Ness, and I think that's a guy who might have a legitimate NFL decision to make. I mean, you talk about a guy who's built like a Greek god. I mean, just look at his, some of the pictures that have leaked out.
It's not fair.
It's incredible. It isn't. You know, he had a lot of, I think he had 30 plus offers coming out of high school. A lot of them were Ivy Leagues and a lot of them were lower D1s than Iowa. You know, I think I don't want to say took a chance on because our own Sean Bach at 24/7 was incredibly high on him. But man, Van Ness really came in and wreaked havoc. I think Deontay Craig is another guy that people want to keep an eye on. And, you know, if Aaron Graves was an early enrollee, I mean, you talk about a guy who is just a pure athlete. I mean, Max Preps Athlete of the Year comes from Alphabet Soup High School in Iowa, four sport athlete, right? And he does all of that. I think his physique and all of that just tells the difference. I mean, I don't know if you know this, Tyler, but you know the story behind Aaron Graves and Iowa State?
Like when they, I think they offered him first and he basically was like, I'm not committing to you guys. Like I'm going to wait for Iowa to offer me and then I'm going to be a Hawkeye.
Iowa essentially, for lack of a better term, Iowa offer first, he committed on the spot. Tyler Barnes and Kirk didn't really expect it. Iowa State showed up on his campus and Aaron Graves looked at his coach and said, why are they here? And he essentially told Iowa State to piss off.
That's amazing. That kid is a true anomaly because he did that as a sophomore or a freshman?
I think he was a freshman. I think he was a couple months after his 14th birthday, he got offered by Iowa.
Oh my God.
And I think he got offered. I think they had to pull him out of a pool because I think he was doing swimming lessons at like the community pool. And he basically accepted the offer on the spot and then went back and essentially said, yeah, I'm going to be a Hawkeye. And like I said, Tyler Barnes and Kirk didn't expect it. So
that's incredible. Again, you just don't find, and I think maybe that it was from following you or some of the other recruiting services. They said that he would have ended up a five-star if he wouldn't have committed so early. He would have left his recruitment open. But because he shut it down and teams kind of knew there was no chance of stealing him away, things kind of died down for him. Do you think that that's correct?
So from what I have heard and based on my conversations, obviously, like I pushed for him to be a high four-star. I didn't want to say five-star. And the only reason why I didn't say five-star is because, look, at the end of the day, and people from Iowa obviously embrace their own, but they got to understand the thought process of recruiting rankings, right? So you talk about Aaron Graves, obviously a freak athlete, incredible weight room numbers. That's a guy who, again, if he was an early enrollee, I think he'd be easily a rotational defensive tackle, defensive end, whoever. Sorry, defensive lineman. Because
I think he's going to get time.
I think he will too. But I know Alabama is poking around. I know there are a lot of other big-time schools poking around. But when you talk about recruiting rankings and five stars, you have to prove your own and hold your own against the best of the best consistently. So when you see a lot of the five stars, they're going to these big time camps in big cities. They're going up against four or five star guys week in and week out, or at least a few times a summer. And the recruiting services are there. Like we don't take five stars lightly. And I know people scoff at the recruiting rankings. Some extent, I think that's fair. To some extent, it's not, because you look at the trajectory of the top programs, they consistently recruit the top level. That's just the way it is. I'm not saying you can't reach a certain point with, you know, two, three, and four stars. But if you're trying to win national championship at the end of the day, organic talent plus development, that's what's going to get you there.
Yeah.
But Aaron Graves, I thought he was a high four-star guy, and I thought he performed very well the All-American Bowl. He held his own against high four-star guys like Carson Hinsman, who Iowa was recruiting very heavy. I ended up going to Ohio State. Shocking, I know. But you know, and he had a sack in the All-American Bowl. And I think he really, I think that weekend for him really proved to him how good he can be and how good he is. When you look at Xavier Wampa, higher level division player, did a bunch of camps, was, I think, the absolute core of leadership and premier player for Southeast Polk, despite having a lot of high-end D1 guys. Yep. At the end of the day, he was a game winner. And he earned his 5-star ranking. A couple other services that ranked him in the hundreds, which I thought was asinine. I thought he was clearly a 5-star prospect. I don't know what more you can expect out of a 5-star guy, especially from a defensive back. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, I think Iowa's done a good job with it. And I think Aaron Graves is going to end up being a top 40, top 45 talent. I think he's that good. And I think if he ends up being a first-round pick, it will not surprise me whatsoever.
It won't surprise me at all. It's not just what he does sports wise, because if you see the clips of him dribbling a basketball, and I think he wrestled too and track.
Yep.
He's just, you can just tell this kid is like, he wakes up and thinks about getting better, and that's all he thinks about all day and then goes to bed. Like, I almost feel a little bit bad for him. Like, hey man, live out like some high school and enjoy yourself. But he's so hyper-focused. Iowa, nobody else talk to me. I'm going to be a Hawkeye. I love that for the Hawks over the next 3 years. Again, like I said, I don't know if we get him for a full four. How much?
He only has his associate's degree, I believe, too.
That's
the other part of it.
Yes, he's coming. He graduated with a 2-year degree from college before he got his high school diploma. So this kid just has some level of dedication and focus and determination, drive that other people aren't born with. And I'm a huge proponent of some people are born better than other people when it comes to traits that equal output of success in whatever they do. He's one of those guys. He's like at the top of whatever the genetics are born with. So I'm very excited to see what he can do. I do think he'll get reps, maybe not super meaningful reps, but I also wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden he's playing in big time situations this fall. How much pull do you think Wampa has on Proctor?
I think it's a decent amount, but I mean, I've said this on a couple of radio shows. I got a radio interview in about 10 minutes. I'm sure I'll be asked about Caden Proctor again, but I think there's a 70-75% chance he becomes a Hawk. I think Iowa's clearly the leader right now. Our 24/7 sports crystal ball is on Iowa. Mm-hmm. Wampa and him, I think, are extremely tight. I remember when Caden Proctor announced his initial, visit plans, a lot of Iowa fans are freaking out. Mm-hmm. And I just said, guys, relax. Like, he took an official to Arkansas State. Like, in no realm of reality or any alternate universe had Arkansas State passed Iowa in his recruitment. Mm-hmm. He wanted to go see Jackson Daly, his high school quarterback, wanted to go have a good time, maybe see a new area he'd never seen before. And I think that's what the official visits are about. And I've told people, hell, dude, if I had 5 visits to go take somewhere, my ass is going to Hawaii. I'm going to Miami. Yes. I'm going to UCLA. I'm going to New York, right? I mean, you're going to places you might never have been able to get to before. So right. I think if there's one school Iowa fans could stomach losing Proctor to, it's Bama. Like, at the end of the day, people can be frustrated. Bama's Bama. You get a national championship. You're going to be drafted in the first round.
Yep.
There's things like that everywhere. But I've also said, if Proctor goes to Iowa, for example, there's no school in the country that can offer the NIL package that Iowa does. Because even if he's a 4th string, guess what? He's a hometown 5-star kid who ended up wanting to stay at Iowa.
Well, I've heard some things.
I'm sure.
And I appreciate you coming on. I'm going to let you go so you can get to the more important radio interview here in a second. We're going to have to bring you back on and talk in depth more of this stuff, because obviously your wealth of knowledge based on the guys coming in and a lot of the guys that are there and who are going to play a big role this fall. David Eichold, everybody. David, thanks for joining.
Hey, Tyler, I appreciate you, bro. Take care.
Take care, man. What a guy, just hopping on, helping a guy out. He brought up one major thing that I wanted to talk about, and I alluded to it right at the end there. I have heard through the grapevine, some little Tweety birds have told me that Caden Proctor has been, I don't know if you could say promised, but they have offered, they have at least said that they, and this is Iowa, this is the Iowa Hawkeyes, the University of Iowa, the staff, in Iowa City at the Hanson Performance Center that somehow, some way, even though I was last on the collective, and I know we haven't talked about the collective yet on this show, we'll maybe get into that when Drake and Kevin are back here. I've heard that he was offered in the seven figures, $1 million plus for the, I believe for the length of his career. I don't think that was yearly. The length of his career, seven figures, and basically any car NIL sponsorship that he wants, which would allow him to, during his time in Iowa City or in Tuscaloosa or in XYZ town, you know, you're going to drive around in a Rolls Royce or a Range Rover or a BMW, whatever car you want, you name it, they're going to find you a way to get you an NIL sponsorship. Because honestly, Caden Proctor, five-star tackle, especially in Iowa City, rolling around in that car, doing social media posts for, you know, whatever dealership is out there, that's going to bring them more customers than it costs them to lease that car out to him for whatever a month, right? I have heard that Iowa has matched, has again, I don't think promised him the seven figures and the car, but they have said, if you, you know, if we can get you to come here to Iowa City, we will work towards get matching in some way that seven figure deal and a car sponsorship. Which, if we're talking that kind of money or that kind of NIL opportunity, name the company, right? Name the local business. And Proctor's going to have a deal with him if he wants it. Very, very intriguing to me. When I heard that, I thought, wow, where is Iowa getting this money? First of all, is this money also going to be part of the collective, whoever this financial backer is, or are they just interested in Proctor? How long now that NIL has been a thing? I'd love to get Tyler Barnes. Yeah, he's never going to talk to us about it, but I'd love to get somebody from the inside or someone with more knowledge. Because NIL stuff went into effect June 1 of last year. We are 386 days into NIL opportunities. And I think it took, you know, there was a couple months in the summer, people started coming out with like, you know, like, oh, we're doing a local burrito sponsorship, you know, whatever. But then in the middle of last year, as the year turned the corner, January, off season, people are starting to figure out and come up with better ideas and ways to execute on the NIL legislature. In really the last 6 months is when things have started to get crazy and pick up, right? You hear about the Auburn basketball player who's getting $400,000 and he wanted more or for the next year, or he wasn't sticking around, right? You've got the Cavender twins who were playing at Fresno State women's basketball. They're two of the biggest influencers, TikTokers out there. They both transferred to Miami. I'm going to assume that there's some NIL opportunity down in South Beach a little bit more than there was at Fresno, right? You hear about the Oklahoma or the Texas A&M or Saban and them pumping out deals that are $250,000, $500,000, $1 million a year to some of their biggest recruits. So that's where we're at. And I simply thought that Iowa might not be on that level, but the rumor is that might not be true. The rumor is that Proctor may be getting a large portion of that behind the scenes funding that Iowa has to come to Iowa City. 70, what did Eichel just say? 70 or 75% chance that he ends up a Hawkeye. I think that, I mean, he would know better than me, right? He talks to the people and that, yeah, that's his realm. That's his job. That makes me feel great. The fact that Wampa's there is great, right? Sometimes as a young kid, you don't want to be, I mean, this is young kid, fuck young kid, anybody, right? Sometimes as a person, you're scared to be the first. Sometimes it's cool to be the first. And it's not like Wampa was necessarily the first. We've had Tristan, we've had AJ, we've had big recruits come in. But if Wampa goes somewhere else, what does that do to Proctor's mindset? It's like, well, you know, they would have been talking. I really like Iowa City, but XYZ, I think Notre Dame and Ohio State were Wampa's other two. I'm going to go to Ohio State because of the, you know, of how good they are year in, year out. I'm going to go to Notre Dame because of the tradition or the NIL or this, that, the other. And then Caden Proctor looks at that and goes, damn, Iowa was right there for him. But now I'm not, if I go to Iowa City, I'm not playing with Wampa. And what does he know that I don't? Did he make the right decision going somewhere else? Maybe he's talking to him at that point. Yeah, man, I love it here. I'm glad I chose here, getting more money. But Wampa kind of, he broke the seal. He stepped up and said, screw it. I'm a five-star, one of the best DBs in the country. I'm going to Iowa City. I'm going to go play for Phil Parker. 3 years, I'll be in the league. Follow the footsteps of Micah Hyde, Desmond King, Josh Jackson, Amani Hooker, Geno Stone. It's interesting stuff, man. I definitely think it persuades Proctor a little more. And the way I see it, he's down to Alabama and Iowa. He's announced his final two. I see that as, you know, they play games. As a high school kid, you play the games, right? Here's my top 20, right? Proctor's got an offer from every school in the country, so he could narrow it down to a top 50, top 40. He could do one every day if he wanted to. But usually they come out with like a top 20 or a top 15, and that's like their first one. Like, these are the schools that have any sort of chance whatsoever. Then they narrow it down to like a top 5 to 10 range, right? I've seen 5, 6, 7, 8. Then they usually narrow it down to 2 or 3. And then on their commitment day, those are the 2 or 3 hats that are sitting on the table. And they take 48 minutes to announce that they're going, you know, they say one sentence, I'll be, and they grab the other hat and they fake everybody out because it, you know, do something original. But anyway, he's going to be sitting there with an Iowa and Alabama hat on. And I see this as, I see this both ways. As the Hawk fan inside of me, I think, well, there's no way we're getting this guy, right? This is the emotional sort of irrational side, maybe the fan side, which isn't very, a very large part of me. I think there's no way we're getting this guy. All the big recruits go to school. You know, Alabama's the competitor here. He's going to go to Bama. He's a five-star. They can give him more SEC money. But the other part of me says, and the fact that Iowa's in the final two is just because it's the hometown. It's the place he would go if Bama wasn't a thing, right? It's just respect to Iowa for having the relationship that he does with them and keeping the hometown fans engaged. But he's going to choose Bama. Then the other side of me thinks, well, maybe that's flipped. Maybe Ike Holt's onto something here. Maybe he's stringing Bama along just because they're the number one team in the country. I'm down to my decision. I've got the number one team in the country or the hometown state. And when I choose the hometown state on decision day, it's going to look so sick. All of Iowa is going to offer me a $20 bill or more, I guess a million somehow. I get to bring Bama along and then tell them no, tell the number one team in the country no, put that hat on the side of the table and throw on the black and gold and say, I'm a Hawkeye and be the hometown hero and still make all the money you want to make and also be gone in 3 years, right? Play right away. I think Proctor, again, it's not like I went to all of Southeast Polk's football games. I've seen the film. I've seen what the kid can do off the field, kind of training wise. You got the measurables, right? I think he said he's 6'7", 330, 335. The speed of the game is going to have to be something that he adapts to, and that will be worked on in camp. But he's, I mean, we know who our offensive line is. We don't have a Linderbaum or a Wirfs right now on our offensive line. We needed a lot of help last year. A lot. He's the help. Plug and play. Probably starts right away and, you know, is good, but not great. And then, you know, if he's like Tristan Wirfs or Lindy, he's pushing all American status, all Big Ten status in his second year. And then his third year, his true junior season, he balls out. He's an all American. You know, he's up for the Outland Trophy or the Remington Trophy. And he posts in December, hey, I'm not playing in the bowl game because I'm going to pursue the NFL, and he's a first or second round draft pick. That's how this goes. That's how this goes. So actually set that expectation now for when he does commit to Iowa, because that's all we're getting out of him. But 3 years of Caden Proctor is better than zero and watching him in the crimson. So I had that on my list. Not to mention, we just got some 6'9 offensive tackle commit, right? So we just got a tackle commit from, I believe he's from Illinois. There was a video of him doing like agility drills by the silo on his farm. 6'9. That's dipping into the Wisconsin pool of recruits right there. Wisconsin's offensive line is always stupid big. 6'7, 6'8, 6'6, 6'7, 6'7. They're just so goddamn big. 6'9 is almost too big for me. I'm like, can he move? I saw the kid. I saw him run a little bit, but we're going to put weight on him. Kid needs an extra 30 or 40 pounds, right? Or he's going to gain weight and muscle, and we need to retain as much speed and quickness laterally, specifically if he's going to be a tackle. It's a lot of fast defensive ends. There's Aaron Graves out there. That kid's stupid, insane. Everything he does, I bet if he play, I bet he knows how to play chess, and I bet he's great at it. He's that kind of guy. We also last week got a 4-star running back commit from Florida, Ladell Betts, doing his thing. I talked to Tyler Barnes. I was at the special teams camp. If you aren't subscribed to the Patreon, washed up, patreon.com/washedupwalkons, you can hear me tell two pretty good stories from my 3.5-4 hours at the Iowa football facility the other day. One on how Coach Woods announced me in the midst of basically all Americans or all Big Ten performers when announcing who was coaching the camp. And then another one, conversation between me and Tory Taylor. Great content. $4, $8, or $12 a month, which goes to the children, the walk-on fund, NIL fund, keeps our show rolling, and also gets you access to merchandise discounts, which we're always, you know, on a every 2 or 3 month basis coming out with something new, in which you're going to buy it because it's sick. It's Hawks by a Million, and you're going to save the money that you spent on the sub, you know, the Patreon subscription anyway. The money going to the children is enough. I don't know why I even signed up yet. But Ladell Betts, man, doing his thing. That's after we just brought in, I believe he was definitely a 3-star. He might also been a 4-star. I think his name is Jason or Jazian Patterson or something like that. Where's David when you need him? We just got a guy from Florida, a running back that had way more starts than we did. Had X infinity more starts than this podcast had, especially tonight. So all fun stuff. Other stuff I had on here was the Ladies Football Academy and the kids captains. The kids captain are going to be choosing the songs. That's interesting. Sort of a cop-out so that they didn't have to make a decision and then get shit on, I think. Like, oh, we'll let the kid. It is cool for the kids to decide. But what if a kid wants black and yellow? Right? At the end of the first at the end of the first quarter. And now everybody turn to the UI Children's Hospital for the best tradition in college football. The wave. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. Uh-huh. You know what it is. Like, what if the kid wants that? So there's obviously gonna have to be like ASAP Rocky fucking problems, you know? Eminem. And like one of his songs that talks about beating women or something like that. Kids just bumping in the middle of the fucking field. Till I collapse, I'm spilling these raps. So I guess there will probably be like 4 or 5 songs that are safer than the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast and have some sort of connection. If Dallas Jacobus' song isn't one of them, it's bullshit. Total bullshit. From what I've heard, the experience at the 10th and final Ladies Football Academy was incredible. That's what I've heard from every Ladies Football Academy experience ever, which is why it's a little confusing that they are no longer doing it. That seems like something that, and I know that Mary Ferentz runs it. So maybe she, like, that's a lot of shit to do, right? And she's already doing a lot of shit. That kind of seems like something that, it kind of seems like something that somebody has to step up and continue. We've had multiple people ask, is this something the walk-ons could take over? And while we appreciate the consideration, I don't know if, first of all, the Ladies Football Academy and the University of Iowa want to attach themselves to our brand. Like, we're pretty cool, but we're not, let's just say the vibes don't match up there. We both love and want the same thing. Hey, make money for the children's hospital. We do it in two very different ways. And then I've had like husbands of their wives or like cousins of their, cousins of their cousins or in-laws or, hey, my sister-in-law or, hey, my aunt went to the Ladies Football Academy and said it was just an incredible experience. They got to learn from the coaches. They got to do the tunnel walk. I've got dudes asking me, how can we do something like this for the guys? Where's the equality at? You know, let's get something for the fellas going. Dudes Football Academy. That might be something. No, we'd probably get canceled for that. I can see the headlines now. Washed up walk-ons set to run Dudes Football Academy brings into question their level of support for women's rights. I mean, what former Iowa players hate females? So I don't know. It would be cool. I do think that it's a little unfair that the guys somehow don't get to go experience that, especially because the guys are the ones who, a lot of the guys are the ones who like grew up dreaming to run out of the tunnel and like meet the coaches and talk football. I don't know. I don't know if the walk-ons, we couldn't even handle a golf tournament. So, which I've also been asked about. If you haven't figured out, it's June 22nd and no golf tournament happening. We dropped the ball on that. Really, a couple of the courses dropped the ball. Next year, pretty sure that's going to happen though. Demand for the golf tournament, the Washington Walk-ons golf tournament, through the roof. Might have to up the registration price even because people will pay for it. And we can only let in 18. Let's do some fucking math. I didn't take math in college. 18 times. Well, let's call it 5 a group. Fuck it. Call it 6 a group, which is a little tight, but we'll do it. That's like 108 guys. Only 108 guys. We're going to have to do 2 golf tournaments. And that's still only be a couple hundred guys. And some of them wouldn't even be washed up walk-ons fans. They're just going to have guys that listen to the podcast that they're friends with who are like, hey, you want to do a golf tournament with these guys that I listen to? And they'll be like, fuck it. Anybody listening to this knows if you're a guy, you'll take any excuse to go golfing. And if you're a girl, your husband will find any excuse to go golfing. So that's going to be a big hit. And we really need to figure that out because that would actually bring in some decent change for the old walk-ons NIL fund and the kids. But you know, it's us three assholes and we don't have our shit together, clearly, because I'm here talking to the microphone by myself. So Ladies Football Academy, golf, kids captain choosing the song, couple of the commits, again, $1 million for Kate. This is all stuff that I was talking about. I had a few other big things that I wanted to talk about with my friends on the podcast, and they aren't here. So it is what it is. This is probably going to be the episode for tonight. You're probably not even going to hear some of the stuff that I was talking about in the beginning. Because once I caught Holt got on, it got a whole lot better. So I'm going to cut shortly after I introed this thing to Ike Holt and then the rest of the conversation post Ike Holt. And looks like we're going to have to get Ike Holt on for another full guest appearance. And that is about it. Again, patreon.com/washedupwalkons if you want to get on the exclusive weekly podcast that's called Dickhead Tuesday. It's where we rarely talk about Iowa football. We go over the crumble flavors of the week, the ice cream, the Jenny's ice cream flavors that we're eating, the, you know, the Johnny Depp trial, the whatever you want. Drake hanging out with Kittle at a bachelor party this past weekend, me going to the Ozarks, funny stories, that dive a little bit deeper into our personal life, more of a lifestyle podcast. You get one of those per week. You go from, call it 8 or 9 episodes of the podcast a month to 13 or 14. You also get early access to the regular episodes. You get video access right away to each episode on the YouTube, which this one's going to be boring as hell because it's me in front of a Hawked by a Million flag background. You get, during the season, some written material that I do, the walk-ons power rankings of the Big Ten. You get discounts on our merchandise. You get access to any exclusive Patreon merchandise. So we do t-shirts over there that are only available to Patreon members. Walk-on Army. Oh, and by the way, half of your donation is going to the kids or the walk-on NIL. Sounds like a great deal to me, if I'm being honest. I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to drag this out. Some of you probably think I already have. I will save some of those bigger topics that I had for the next episode, which I will be doing from Indianapolis. That's going to be interesting, editing on my laptop for the first time. And we'll leave it at that. Thank you guys for listening so much. We will get David back on. We've got a couple other guests that, again, scheduling is a bitch, but we're trying to get them on. And we're going to wind down this summer. We are dangerously close, 2-3 months away from Iowa football, like a little in between there. Shit. Kinnick's going to be rocking. Let's go. Hawks by a million. Hope everybody has a fantastic rest of your day, evening, night, whatever it is. We'll talk to you in 328. I love you. Peace.